The genetics I have read. Eugenics. In that, it is not claimed what you are claiming.
Well,
you know, the subject of genetics only tells us that if brother is married to a sister in evolved human beings, now evolved life, evolved species of life, there is a likelihood of both the sperms dying out in vain without producing issues. That is what genetics tells us. And another, in another instance, the theory of genetics tells us that, or the study of the laws of genetics reveal that there is a likelihood of two characters, similar characters, multiplying. And if the characters are good, some exceptionally good character would be born. If the unfortunately the characters are bad, then that evil can be, you know, exaggerated. It can and grow to a very threatening dimension. Now, this is also true, but this is not only confined to marriage between cousins, because we know for certain families who have been marrying between them for many centuries now. In Pakistan, in India, in there are some places where some Sayyid families have been intermarrying between themselves. And no freaks of nature are ever born. They're all right. Then there is intermarriage, interbreeding of horses in Arab, practiced for at least 1300 years or so. I mean, about 1400 years. Because Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Arabs to go for the inbreed. A species, certain species should be bred within their own four walls of the species. And the result was the beautiful Arab, which you see today. And all the scholars of the subject say that Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done a very great favor to not only to the horse, but to the mankind as such, because the horses of today, all those horses of excellent qualities, are a direct result of that inbreeding of the Arabs, which took place at the behest of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No horse worth the song of the modern age can be pointed out which does not have an Arab blood in it. All the best thoroughbred have Arab pedigrees, and that is because of that inbreeding. So some abnormalities are born not only among by marrying between yourselves, but by marrying outside as well. So unless you prove that the incidence is much greater in the in one case than the other, that should not be rejected as such.
But when we study these things, when we study in case histories, and there's some congenital disease, the first question they always ask is, are the two parents related? If the child is born and there's a genetic disease, then the first question is are the parents related?
Exactly, but this also happens in some other cases where there's no relationship, and that again would be the first question. For instance, if a diabetic husband, a person, marries a diabetic woman, there is a great likelihood that at least some children, if not all, would be born diabetic. And some scholars believe that every child would be a diabetic in case both the husband and wife are diabetics. Now, they are not related to each other, but they are carrying the genes of that defect. So that can come from marrying outside as well. The scientific reality is just this, that if there are two diseased characters born by a gene, or one diseased character born by a gene, when that gene comes across the similar character in the opposite sex, there is a chance of that character being multiplied. But so also is there is a chance of good characters multiplying. So, if abnormalities of birth are not found, in those people who do not encourage intermarriage, then this question would be a valid question. But the incidence of congenital deformed births is at least equal, if not greater, and I tend to believe greater among those people who do not intermarry.
There's also that suggestion that.
Then again, don't misconstrue permission with an order. The Holy Quran or Islam permits you. It does not order you to marry. Also, it promotes marriage outside, not only one's blood, but also outside one's race. And Islam does demolishes all barriers of race and religion in marriage, except for certain exceptions. There are one or few exceptions in case of an idolater, and a Muslim woman cannot be married to an idolater, and the vice versa. So that is different. But races and colors do not play any role in the marriage system of Islam. So if you are permitted to marry among your own kith and kin, you are also not only permitted but promoted to marry outside, with the result that the blood is always refreshed. And it is refreshed. And there, those possibilities become remote. And this is exactly what is happening.
If two cousins do marry, then the chance of a miscarriage or death before birth could occur. And therefore the statistics would be biased towards the fact that there are more babies surviving from two parents.
No, but I have also seen, because I have been working as a sort of doctor, though my claim to be a physician would not be accepted by allopaths. But as a homeopath, I have had a very long practice of 25 years plus. And sometimes, in excess of my daily routine work of the community, I could see about 100 patients a day. And I have come across many such situations where the marriage was not between the cousins, and the result was a deformed baby, or an early death, or a death before delivery. So when their bloods were matched, some IR factor or something, you know, that was discovered, but that was not necessarily because they were cousins, because it so happened that both the bloods carried a certain character in their genes. So these are remote possibilities of accidents which are taking place everywhere, and when Islam permits you to marry within, it does not forbid you to marry outside. And more often than that, not, you are marrying outside as well, so that the circulation of blood is being refreshed generation after generation.